Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, which is a powerful word, which cuts to the heart like a two-edged sword, both law and gospel. And Lord, your word often provokes a response in our lives. Sometimes a response of joy, and sometimes it's a response of confusion, maybe anger or hurt. But help us to know whatever your Holy Spirit leads us to see helps us to grow. So today we ask that you help us to read Mark and learn and inwardly digest your word, that we may grow in faith, love, and service to you, and in love and service to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Compassion. That is the word for today from our lessons. And so I was doing some research on compassion, and I found an article from the Greater Good magazine, and this is what it says about compassion. I want to share this quote with you today. Compassion literally means to suffer together. Compassion literally means to suffer together. Among emotion researchers, it is defined as the feeling that arises when you are confronted with another's suffering and feel motivated to relieve that suffering. Compassion is not the same as empathy or altruism, though the concepts are related. While empathy refers more generally to our ability to take the perspective of and feel the emotions of another person, compassion is when those feelings and thoughts include the desire to help. Altruism, in turn, is the kind, selfless behavior often prompted by the feelings of compassion, though one can feel compassion without acting on it, and altruism isn't always motivated by compassion. Compassion literally means to suffer together. What does that mean for us as a congregation or a people of God? It means that God calls us to suffer together. It means what God's law says is that we bear one another's burdens, and this way we feel the law of Christ. It means that when we suffer together, if one part of the body is hurt, the whole body is hurt. It means if one part is angry, then we're all angry. If one part is sad, then we're all sad, because that's what it means to suffer together. And that's what God has done when he made us his body, when he baptized us and brought us together as his people. What it means is that we don't hold grudges. What it means is that we don't withhold forgiveness. What it means is that we don't withhold love from each other. What it means is that we don't get easily angered with each other. What it means is that we suffer together. Because that's what it means to have compassion. And God is a God of compassion, and he calls us to be compassionate ourselves. You see, in this is the kind of God that we have. Think about it for a moment. Think about this God that we have. He is a God of compassion, one who is filled with compassion. What did he do for us? He suffered with us. You know, when we sinned and fell in the garden, God could have just left us to our own device. He could have just left us to the old covenant, doing the best that we could, living the law, trying to save ourselves. But what happened? What happened? We failed miserably. We couldn't do it. Instead of working our way to heaven, we certainly were working our way the opposite direction. We were working our way to hell. And God had great compassion on his people. He says that in our Old Testament lesson for today. And in that great compassion, going all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, he promised that he would send a Savior into this world, that he would come in his self, clothed in human flesh, to have compassion on us, to suffer with us, to walk by our side, to suffer our sinfulness, our hurt, our disease, our anger, our fears, our worries, to suffer everything that we suffer so that we might be able to live in God's freedom and forgiveness and life for eternity. This is the kind of God we have, a God who is filled with compassion, one who was so compassionate that he left everything beside to suffer with us and for us. To die on the cross, taking every one of our sins and nailing himself to the cross with them. To descend into hell, to declare victory over Satan, that we had have victory in Jesus Christ. And to rise up from the dead into newness of life, to show us that we will live with him forever. He is a God of compassion, one who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, our lesson says. I wish I was more like God. But I'm pretty quick to anger, and sometimes I'm not very abounding in love. Do any of you ever experience that in your lives? Anybody ever? Am I the only one? Good. Thank you for being honest this morning. I appreciate your honesty. It is so quick to get angry, especially driving on I-35 north in traffic. Very quick to get angry. But it is, because we're not God. We're sinful, fallen human beings. And this concept is hard for us to understand, that God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He's the exact opposite of us. In fact, when we sin, he doesn't get angry at all. When we sin, he comes down to have compassion on us, to wrap his arms around us, to love us, to forgive us, to speak holy, eternal, life-giving words into our ears, to remind us of our baptism, that we are his children. His abounding love comes into our lives and fills us with eternal joy and life. Why? Because he's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. That's a God of compassion. He's a God whose mercies are new every day, Scripture says. And how wonderful that is. His mercies are new every day. Remember, mercy is what God takes away from us. Our sin, death, the devil, our illness, our diseases, everything of those of sinfulness. He takes it all away from it. He lifts us from that. Because he is a God of mercy. And his mercies are new to us every day, no matter our past, our present, our future, no matter our failures or mistakes, no matter how bad we may have been, no matter what we have done, God's mercies are new to us every day. My brothers and sisters, and this is what God calls us as his church to be. The same as he is, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, mercy that is new every day. You see, God's compassion is very much his grace in action. Remember what grace is? God's riches at Christ's expense. Every good and perfect gift that God pours out into our lives, and we could name them all, but we know them. Eternal life and forgiveness and love. Every good and perfect gift, the air we breathe, the food we eat, everything that God gives and pours out on us, and everything that he lavishes onto and into our lives and our hearts. His compassion is his grace in action. In fact, Lamentations tells us today that God is so grace-filled, so compassionate, he wants no one to willingly suffer. God doesn't want us as his creatures to suffer. That's not what he wants. He doesn't want us to suffer. He wants us to have joy-filled, happy lives. We know that the reason we suffer in this world is for twofold. Number one, Satan puts a target on our back and likes to strike us with his arrows. Number two, we make it where we suffer ourselves because we're good at being sinners. We hold grudges, we fail to forgive, we fail to act out of love, we hurt people, and the list goes on and on and on. One of those two things happens in our lives, and we fail to have compassion, which is God's grace in action. We make ourselves suffer. Satan makes us suffer. God wants us not to suffer. We learn from this grace-filled God that it is out of suffering that we find and share in his grace. Isn't that interesting? It's interesting that as we do suffer in this world, God redeems it. You know, God's in the redemption business, right? What does redemption mean? Does anybody know? If I go to a store and I hand the cashier a coupon to redeem, what is that cashier doing? She's buying back that coupon and giving me money, right? That's redemption. God is in the redemption business. What did he buy us back from? Sin and death and the devil. Very good, Lutherans. Good answer, good answer. Very good. He redeems us. He buys us back from sin, death, and the devil. He buys us back so that we could be his forever. And his redemption is in our lives. And we learn that God is in the redemption business. So when we suffer, when Satan causes us to suffer, or when we bring those sufferings into our own life, what God does is he swoops down by the power of his word and his Holy Spirit and our brothers and sisters in Christ here in this place and everywhere. He swoops down into our life and he fills us with love and compassion and grace. And he redeems us. He buys us back from that suffering. He sets us up high on the pedestal of his love and his mercy and grace and says, my child, you will be fine. I have raised you up. You will overcome the suffering. You have hope and joy and eternal life in my name. Look at the church in Corinth today. They were suffering some sort of deep trial. We don't know what it is, but it was a trial of some kind. And in those trials, they shared God's grace and were generous and faithful. Now, I don't know about you, but But I'm going to be honest, when I go through a trial or a tribulation, the first thing in my mind is not generosity. Anybody else like that? The first thing in my mind is, well, I want to be nice to somebody else. That's not it. Because I'm a sinful human being. But this church was filled with compassion, God's grace in action. And we don't know what their trial was. It could have been a bad voters meeting. It could have been they were arguing over the color of carpet to put in the sanctuary. We don't know. But they were filled with some sort of trial and tribulation. But yet even in that trial and tribulation, they were not only generous to each other and loving each other, they were generous to those outside in the community and continued to serve as a church. Because they were filled with the compassion of God and his grace-filled message. Now think about that for a second. What would fill them with compassion? The word, the sacrament, the Holy Spirit, rejoicing in forgiveness, celebrating baptism, everything that God gives us in his grace fills us with this overwhelming compassion, need, and drive to want to do good for each other and for other people. And the church was an example of that. Even though they were under attack from the evil one, their compassion from and for the Lord, kept them sharing God's grace. How often churches fail to do that today? How often we fail to do that today? We get so stuck in our sinfulness and our worries and our fears and our doubts. Fill in the blank. That compassion and grace fly out the window. And we fail to be God's people and his church. And then there's Jesus in our gospel lesson today. He's on his way to Jairus' house. We'll talk about that in a moment. But he's on his way. There's a great crowd around him. And this woman who was very sick, who had this blood flow for 12 years, she came up and she simply touched the robe of Jesus. Notice her faith. Notice that. If I had that kind of faith, only if I had that kind of faith. She didn't say, oh, I'm going to stop Jesus. I have to stop him and talk to him. She didn't say that. She didn't yell and say, hey, Jesus, over here. She simply said to herself, if I can just touch his robe. That's a beautiful faith. Man, I wish I had that kind of faith. And she did. She touched his robe. And Jesus stopped, and he said, who touched me? And the disciples, being the disciples, said, Jesus, there's so many people here. What do you mean who touched you? Somebody just brushed by you. Just keep going, you know, the disciples. And the woman was afraid. And so she admitted, I touched you. I touched your robe because I wanted to be healed. And what did Jesus say to her? Your faith has healed you. Jesus suffered with her through the communion of just touching that robe. Jesus suffered with her to the point where he healed her. He healed her. Think about what that means for our lives and our church. That simply touching the robe of Jesus brings healing and restoration, brings forgiveness and life. Even more so, we get to touch Jesus himself today in the Lord's Supper. How powerful is that? And then he goes on and he goes to Jairus' house, and as they're going down the road, some of the other people from the house come and say, oh, don't bother Jesus, she's already dead. And what does Jesus say? Let's go. She's only sleeping. She's only sleeping. So Jesus goes with a few of his disciple buddies, and they go into the house, and he takes mom and dad and the disciple buddies up in the room, and he says to the little girl, do you remember what he says? He says, little girl, get up. And what does she do? She gets up, and she walks around the room. And then to make sure that the people knew she wasn't a ghost, this is why the Bible does this, he says, give her something to eat. Compassion. Jesus was suffering with Jairus and his family. Jesus was motivated by this suffering to raise this little girl up from the dead, to show God's glory and his grace and his compassion. Think about your own life for a second. I don't know where your life is today. We're all in different places. And we all have hurts and worries and burdens and stresses and finances and illnesses and children and whatever else it may be, right? Whatever else is going on in our life. Sometimes small problems that we make big and big problems that don't seem so real. But every one of us in our lives, at some place or another, come to these places. Sometimes it's holding grudges and not giving forgiveness. Sometimes it's failing to love. Sometimes it's failing to live out Christ. We come to these places. And what does Jesus say to us? Little child, get up. He takes us by the hand in our woundedness, in our hurting, in our arrogance, in our pride, in our sinfulness, and he takes us by the hand and he says, little child, get up. Get up. Get up because I love you. Get up because I have felt your suffering. Get up because I have compassion on you. Get up and live in my mercy and my grace. Get up and be restored. Get up and be redeemed. Get up and overcome and conquer your fears, your hurts, your past, and your future. Get up and live in me, and I will live in you. And as we rise, we do so in faith. We do so in faith that comes from the power of the word and the sacrament that God places into our hearts. We get up in this overwhelming sense of faith and joy that nothing can take away from us. The faith that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 8, where he says nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. We get up in faith and we rise up and we run around the room and we rejoice because Jesus has taken us by the hand and has redeemed us and has helped us to overcome this world. We rise up and we do so living in God's compassion. Not only living in the compassion that he gives us, but now filled with that compassion so we can have compassion on others, and that his grace may flow out of our lives into those around us, in our church, in our community, in our families, and around the world, using his compassion to be grace in action with his love, with his forgiveness, with his healing, and with his restoration. You see, compassion is a huge issue. It means that we suffer together. We love together. We rejoice together. We forgive together. We celebrate God together. And in this way, we overcome the power of Satan. We celebrate the victory that we have over sin, death, and the devil. And we live as the church that God has made us to be. And other people will be drawn to that compassion as we share it. And Jesus will reach down to them and he will say, little child, get up. And they too will be saved. And they too will go to heaven because of our wonderful and awesome God. In Jesus' name, amen.